The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
So it's funny, like, wrestling is so much like being at war. Yeah. You know, you hang out with somebody in the trenches for years, and then you don't see them for a while if you go to different places. Yeah. And the moment that Adam Copeland showed up in AEW, it's like nothing is change. Nothing's missed. The time has stood still.
Yeah.
How do I like, use a microphone?
Should I do so I talk now?
Do I talk into a thing? I didn't know we were rolling, man. Case in point.
Yeah, exactly.
How we're laughing now.
That's right.
I think when you travel with people and you go through the things that we go through in this history, we're gypsies, man.
Yeah, right.
We're still gypsies. And there's not that many professions that still are. I'm sure musician still has the gypsy
vibe to it.
But so you cannot see somebody for a year. Hell, you cannot talk to somebody for a year. You won't text for a year. But as soon as you see each other, it's like I've always said, it's like putting on that old shoe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's cozy. And what's really great about coming over here is that there's enough of those faces.
Right.
And yet I look at the roster and I'm like, I haven't faced any of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's super exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, especially at this stage of my career, right?
Because
what else is there to do, really? Well, here, there's a whole lot to do. Mm-hmm. That's fun, man.
No, it's funny because I think you're about the same age as I was when I came, well, when we started AEW, and it was for the same thing. And I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I'll tell you from my perspective, being in WWE and kind of seeing the writing on the wall of where I was on the card, which was great, but also, too, knowing that, like, I have wrestled everybody here from past, you know, present, some of the future maybe. And when I started thinking about AEW, there was nobody that I'd wrestled. Kenny won match at the Tokyo Dome. And other than that, like this whole myriad of great performers that had made names for themselves worldwide and they'd never faced any of those, like a 50 dream matches just by showing up.
And I think too, you and I are both wired the same. I think anybody who's been in this industry as long as guys like us, you're driven by challenges.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not just going to show up to something and the same old is only going to work so long.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you got to get challenged. You got to recreate yourself. You have to reinvent your character. You have to make tweaks, things like that, change your style, whatever that is in order to keep yourself creatively stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that also goes to who you're working with. And I mean, I could work Seth Rollins every day of the week and it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But we've wrestled now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I wrestled Finn. Okay. Wrestled Roman. Okay. Wrestled AJ. Like there was a list of guys that I wanted to work and I worked most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of got to a point, I think, you know, I've said, I think both sides were just out of ideas.
Right.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's no one's fault.
You said you agree with each other.
Yeah.
That's a great quote.
And I truly feel like that's kind of the way it was. I have a small window here to be able to contribute to the wrestling industry as a whole and be able to pull off matches that I want to pull off at a certain level. I know that time frame is small. It's not like I got another 10 years left in me. to do it the way I want to do it. And I wanted to maximize it. And to their point, to WWE's point is, you know, well, if you're around too much, it's not special. And I can see that. I get it. I just felt like if I got 2 years or if I got a year, then let's like take the governor off and let's go.
Right, right, right.
That's really all it boiled down to. And then I look at it and, you know, I, when I did sit down with my family and talk, and my girls made it real simple. I said, just go be with Uncle Jay. I mean, when a 9-year-old can really simplify right. something for you like that and just kind of smack you in the face with like, clearly it's got to be that, Dad. Like, what are you thinking?
Right, right.
Because for a while, like, after and during the Toronto show, I was like, God, this might be it, man.
But your final show.
Yeah, the one in Toronto with Sheamus.
Anniversary match?
Yeah, because I was loving it. We're just in there. And we'd never worked the singles, but we're just, and it was so much fun. And the crowd was just, you know, halfway through, I was like, man, this might be it. This might be it, because this is so much fun. And I want my last match, whatever that is, to feel fun. And that was, so I really took some time to just kind of sit on my butt and sit with it and see where my heart and my brain sometimes have different ideas. And, I just needed to kind of get through all of that and decide where it was going to be. And again, the girls just really simplified it for me and made it a kind of a no-brainer when they said that.
It's interesting because when a rumor first came up that you might be leaving or whatever, somebody asked me, do you think Edge will come? Do you think Adam will come here? And I said, I don't think so, because he's such a WWE guy. Like, he's the epitome of that generation of WWE. Was it, besides your girls giving you some advice, was it very hard to leave and really leave? Like, not just think, okay, I'm good, but actually do it?
It absolutely was. Yeah. I mean, any relationship of 25 years. I mean, I had my first match for them in 96.
Jeez, yeah.
And from that point forward, I never went anywhere else. So, yeah, there's a massive, like, okay, I'm stepping off the cliff here.
Yeah.
How's this go? But that's also really exhilarating, too. And that's really fun. And again, back to challenges and challenging yourself. This is a challenge. You know, and it's not the safe thing. I could have gone with the safe thing. And well, you know, because you did exactly the same thing. Right. It's sometimes you just got to do that, and you step out of a comfort zone and kind of take the warm blanket off and just see what's out there. And it's also like, I'm not walking into this sight unseen. You're here. Jay's here. FTR's here. Like, I have some great friends here who have all been telling me they're stories of having fun. And again, at this stage, having fun, challenges, getting to work with, you know, my best friend. I mean, come on.
So when you finally decided, made your decision, was it a no-brainer? Did you talk to the company and say, this is what I'm going to do? How did you kind of work that out?
Which company?
Oh, either or, with like WWE, for example?
You know, we had an offer on the table. And we had conversations, and the kind of conversations where it was like, okay, what do we have? Well, we're not sure. And I was like, well, I'm not sure either.
Right.
And that's kind of where it was left. So I thought, okay, I can sign on for that and just kind of do whatever for a year or try and be really involved. And I love being involved.
Right.
And you can't be that involved when you're contracted for 10 matches a year.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the conundrum that we found ourselves in. It's hard to book for a guy like that.
You're just coming in and out,
In and out, or it's, you know, kind of, okay, we need a match for MSG. Right.
Right, right.
Let's do Edge versus Waller. And super fun, but no buildup, anything. It's just kind of, okay, it's a one-off for that week. And I really want to be involved in stories. That's why I was so happy with the Judgment Day story, because it was this year-long story. And I know a lot of wrestling fans are conditioned now almost with the ADD brain in terms of, like, if it doesn't get blown off within a month, then it's too long.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just think back to Steamboat and Savage.
Yeah.
And I think their first match was at WrestleMania 3, you know, and that was almost a year after the crushed larynx
on the
barricade, you know. Yeah. I still think that's possible if it's done right. So anyway, I love the idea of coming in and getting to tell a whole lot of stories with a brand new set of opponents. And also you know, when you get to this stage of our careers, if a part of wanting to do this too is like, okay, if you want to pick my brain, I am here, mm-hmm. wide open. Right. And because if we don't do that, then the next generation doesn't get the things that we got.
Yeah.
You know, when Rick Martel would, you know, take me aside, or Bad News would take me aside, and all of these guys would take me aside to give me knowledge, or I'd, you know, I'd go up and say, hey, what do you think? You know, I was never afraid to do that.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't I pick those guys' brains?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it feels kind of strange sometimes to be on the other end of that, but I also love it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So how was it, you know, first time in 27 years,
right.
You know, the other day and even today, walking into, you know, your new job, basically?
It should feel really strange, but it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because there's some really familiar faces
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're not just talking, you know, fly-by-night friends
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
It's like people that I'm legitimate friends with.
Yeah.
So in that regard, it's really cool, actually. I'm sure there's going to be aspects of it that I have to get used to, retrain my brain on, okay, that's how it's done here.
Yes.
And that's cool, though. But it's rare that you start a brand new job fresh at 49 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But again, that's so much of the really, really exciting, you know, aspects of this thing is it's all new, even though, okay, it's wrestling still, don't get me wrong, but there's still a lot of differences in companies and how they do it. And that's just exciting to me to kind of discover how it's done here.
What differences have you noticed right off the bat after
so,
3 days?
So like I had this idea for an opening video to kind of set up coming out there for the first time. And I had just kind of pictured a muscle car. You kind of see feet getting in, you see a hand shifting the gear, you see a hand on the steering wheel, you know, those kind of things. And I had Cry of Achilles from Alter Bridge, this almost Spanish flamenco acoustic guitar playing over all of that. And I wanted to have like the Tarantino feature presentation to start it off
yeah.
and really grainy and like a grindhouse
yeah.
kind of look. And so I went, wow, how do we do this here? Wait. And I said, Jay, Darby's a Seattle guy, right? And he's like, yeah. So I called him, said, hey, can you get him a muscle car? He's like, yeah. I said, you got some good locations? He was like, yeah. I was like, right. So Friday night, we're on an SUV with Giancarlo and Shane, and Shane's driving. I'm literally holding Giancarlo's legs.
The Giancarlo is the camera guy,
yes,
creative
sorry.
Guy from
thank
WWE
you.
Who works here now, right?
Yes, yeah. Thank you. You're a good host. And he's hanging at the back of this SUV with the back open while we're filming this muscle car being driven by the guy who owns it down this cobbled alleyway. We're doing like 50. I'm holding onto his legs. Darby's holding onto my legs. And I was just giggling like Friday night at midnight. And we're hanging onto each other so we don't fall out of this moving SUV while we felt like, come on.
Yeah.
But right. That's fun.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Right.
And I felt like a teenager doing, you know, kind of a media studies video for class or something. It was a lot of fun.
Right.
And I didn't realize how much I missed that being really grassroots involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of times, and it's amazing, but I'd say ideas and they go, oh, yeah, we can do that.
Right.
And then you just see it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fun to be involved.
You're a guerrilla filmmaker.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's
for sure.
Yeah, that's just fun, man.
So what did you start talking to Tony? Like when did you start talking with him? What did you think of him when you met him?
So we started talking. My deal was up September 21st.
Okay.
And then we started talking after that.
Right.
And which is pretty quick.
Yeah.
So there was a lot to get done in that time. And even still, there was, I might just retire. that was still in play. I knew where I was leaning, but then I finally had to sit down with the girls after we'd talked, and I realized, okay, this is what the actual scenarios are now. Here's one scenario, here's the other, here's the other. And after, you know, talking to Tony after that, then I was able to sit down with the actual choices and go, right, family, what are we doing? Because I don't want to do anything that's going to be detrimental to the family.
Right.
And that's first and foremost. And they get it. They understand. My girls are old enough now to understand, like, okay, well, dad's working because he's a better dad if he's still working too. Because that part of him is still being kept alive.
Right.
We're creative people. And if you're not hitting that creative vein, then eventually that part of your life is gone. So is part of you. And whether, you know, I can do it with painting, I can do it with acting, but it's not the same as this.
Right.
It's just not. I equate it to, you know, a stand-up. If they're really hitting their groove and they're feeling it from the audience, and it's like, but if they aren't okay, you might need to switch the setup a little bit.
Right.
Or when you see a band, and I've heard, you know, bands call their set list on the fly because, okay, we got to do something a little different.
Right.
That's so much fun, and that's what we do every time we're in there. Nothing else does that. Where else do you have a job where you have theme music that goes off and people and people react to it?
When, like, you walk into a room,
come on. You know, it's the best gig in the world. It really is.
Well, speaking of theme music, I mean, it's obvious to me, but a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, he's got his music. I mean, I think a lot of people thought that might have been trademarked by WWE or copyrighted by WWE, but of course that's an Alter Bridge tune. So how hard or easy was that to get?
It was easy, actually, because, you know, I know the Alter Bridge guys, and we've become friends. I mean, gosh, I've been using that music for 20 years.
Right.
And it's become one of those themes that I think it's become so synonymous, you know, with me over the years that it felt really strange to use anything else. And, you know, there's a part of me that goes, okay, switch everything.
Right.
Switch it all.
Yeah.
And come up with new music and a new look and And I'm like, but if I do that, then I feel like I've robbed them of a little bit of seeing this guy come into this place the way we know him. And I'll make switches and changes as we go, as storylines dictate. But to me, the music was just massive. You and I both. You know, I'm going to keep saying throughout this, you and I both, because we're eerily similar. Yeah. We've always known that. But music, to me, it sets the entire tone.
Yeah.
It gets me to that place that I need to be in order to throw all of that energy out of me. I have to feel that song. And if I don't feel that song, then I can't bite in.
Right.
So that was huge, you know, and it was as simple as, hey, Mark, man, still want to use Metalingus. He's like, it's yours.
Which is great, though, because a lot of times it's not up to the musicians. I mean, we still have to buy the rights for Judas to use it.
Yeah.
Here. I can't just say, hey, let's use it.
Yeah. It's really nice to have that relationship with those guys. It really, really is. Yeah. And then to say, hey, I want to use Cry of Achilles for the opening. Sure. Yeah.
I'm
like that. Okay.
That's perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So what were you thinking in Seattle when, you know, Jay's out there and the ring's ripped up and Darby's down and then suddenly it's like, oh, here we go. Were you nervous at all?
I'm not nervous at all.
Yeah.
You know, just ready to fly out of that chute.
Yeah.
You know, and really just get this thing started and get moving with it.
Because like you mentioned, it was such a quick turnover. 10 days earlier, you were still under contract to WWE.
Yeah. And again, still sitting with retirement to stay there, you know. A lot within that 10 days emotionally, you know, there was a lot of roller coastering, terms of, okay, what do I do? What do I do? And so it was just a kind of a crazy tumultuous week that has just continued into this week.
Yeah.
Cause it felt like it just hasn't stopped. I've still been on the road and, I don't know if it'll fully land on me until like I have a couple of days at home,
right,
to really sit with it and go, oh, that happened.
Yeah.
Now, there was the moment Sunday when I shook hands with Sting. I was like, oh, man.
You've never been in the ring
with him. You know, I love the guy.
Yeah.
But never shared workspace with him. And so to be in there after that, and then also, you know, with a guy like Darby, who I truly believe is I know he's already a linchpin to this place. He's one of the foundation, but like that guy,
yeah,
he's special.
Yeah.
He really, and I told him this and I meant it in the utmost, with the utmost respect, because sometimes when you compare to other people, but it's just natural to compare, right? So I was like, you're Rey Mysterio with Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Splashed all over you. And that's awesome.
He's got the X factor.
He does. He's just got that thing,
yeah.
Right? But he knows how to sell, and he knows how to be aggressive and when to be aggressive. Yeah. And that's, it's fun to see, mm-hmm. right? And then in meeting him and just seeing his attitude I really, really think that guy's special.
Yeah.
So to be in there with him too, especially after they had that match, I mean, things torn apart,
yeah.
You know, it was, I don't know if surreal's the right word, but there was certainly like a moment where I didn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a kind of a buzz. Like I didn't hear the crowd reaction. I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only ever happened, I think, one other time where there was just so much coming at me.
Yeah.
That it's kind of hard to process that your body's kicking out all of these different things, serotonin, endorphins, all. And adrenaline, and it's all happening. So it just kind of flew by. But then after the business was done, that's when I could really soak it in.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was out there, but truly, truly soaking it, not until I get home.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So do you have kind of a plan of your first few months here, what you want to do?
Well, you know, I always got a plan.
Yeah, because, you know, here, that's part of what we do is you create your own stories in a lot of ways.
And that's super exciting.
Yeah.
It really, really is. Just to be able to come up with, even if it's just tent poles, and then see in between where it takes us. And that's kind of how I've always tried to look at things. It's like, okay, these are the major tent poles. How do we get there?
Mm-hmm.
And the rest can kind of, you know, I don't like figuring out on the day of.
Yeah.
Like having some idea, but I definitely have ideas, you know, of what I would like to do,
mm-hmm.
and you know, opponents that I want to face for sure. But I really look forward to this story with Jay, mm-hmm. and where we can take it and how we can do it and do it differently.
Yeah,
we're different talent now.
Yeah, you know what I liked about it too, like I stay away of like having matches with, let's say, Jay or Matt Hardy or
yeah.
anybody from our
sure.
era, because I just feel like we've seen it. But you have a great one because it's you and Jay, but it's you, Sting, and Darby, and
yes.
it's Jay, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne.
Yes.
So that's the rub for everybody.
And that's what I love about it is that you got these younger talent that are going to get some traction out
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's when it works best,
yeah.
right? And I feel like if you didn't do something with Jay and I out of the gate.
Yeah, that's a good
like,
call.
How do you not?
That's right.
Especially with the scenario, the way it's been set up, with the way his story's been going, it's like, if we don't go there, people are going, well, but why didn't...
Yeah, it's so obvious.
How do you not?
Yeah, it was a great setup for it.
So now it's just a matter of making it different and coming at it from a different perspective. And I think I got that idea of how at least I want my character, although it's essentially me now,
yeah.
to approach this thing and how to go in it and try and go into it differently than what you might think.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It might work, it might not. And if it doesn't, okay, well, then we'll just tweak it.
Obviously, you know how to make it work, though.
Hopefully.
how was it leaving Edge behind?
To me, Edge was always a character.
Yeah.
Like, even in this last run, it was basically me out there. And
sure.
I mean, I'd even say in promos, this is pretty much Adam at this stage. Edge was just a name. It's odd, I guess, to kind of put that skin on over the years. But again, with this last run, I don't feel like I really was.
Mm-hmm.
It really just felt like everyone knows my story.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows the real story behind it, which is all Adam.
Yeah.
So that kind of, like, all of the real rated R stuff, that kind of gets left behind. Mm-hmm. Now it's just the person behind the performer that's almost front and center.
Right.
And that had never been the case before, but it was also kind of freeing because I wasn't trapped within a character now. And that's what it feels like over here. It feels like just the possibilities are wide open. Mm-hmm. And that's fun. You know, there's so many different paths we can go. And when I'm reading a book, right, I love when I don't know where it's going to go and there's a bunch of different ways it could go. And you start to guess, okay, where are they going to, where's the writer going to take this? That to me is really fun. And I feel like we have that opportunity here. So I have a long game idea and I can't wait for it, but all of this stuff sets that up.
Right, right.
But even in thinking about it, I always think of the package. So let's give them some moments for the package.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And what are those moments?
Yeah.
And they're just little seeds, and then we'll water them as we go. And when the time's right, then we really water them. And now, okay, that's the direction we're going.
It's cool that you think that way, because once again, like, that's one of the things that you'll notice here is there's such a young locker room.
Yes.
And most of them came basically from the indies,
sure,
you know, or Japan or whatever, or Ring of Honor. And I remember, like, their first live TV show we had. I was like, how many people here have worked live TV? And at the time, I think it was me, Dustin, and Cody.
Yeah.
And maybe Jim Ross or a couple others. You know, and I was really happy with how everybody kind of, you know, banded together. But you can tell the difference between the guys that worked in the Vince system and the guys that haven't. And obviously, there's negatives to it, but there's a whole lot of positives to working in the Vince system. You mentioned, like, the moments for the package, that sort of thing. You're going to come in here with that perspective, which I think... we can help with the younger guys, but you'll never know unless you worked in that company with Vince.
And true.
Yeah.
True. And then through osmosis, hopefully feel the difference.
Yeah.
And you know, I sound like one of the grizzled old timers now, but like everybody can do moves.
Right.
But where do you put them? And do they care about the character that's doing the moves?
Yeah.
That to me is key. You know, so I was watching the Triple Threat with Jay and Darby and Lucha. Lucha picks up the belt and he turns away. And that reaction, when he turned away, was huge.
Right.
Wasn't a wrestling move.
Yeah.
He can do all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But he turned away and got that reaction because now they're starting to care about the character.
Yes.
And what the character is going to do.
Yeah.
So if he breaks out a moonsault to the floor at All In, now it means even more.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to doing it every week in a, you know, three-team elimination match or something.
Exactly.
Right? And I get it. I do. We did TLC matches to get noticed.
Yeah.
So I understand it. Mm-hmm. I really do. But when I really started making money in this business and getting reactions is when I made them care about the character.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what wrestling is all about.
Yeah.
And that's something that we have imparted into a lot of the guys here. And as they get older, Sam the other day told me, I'm just going to retire that move. And it's like, you don't need it anymore, dude. You've gone beyond that. You don't need these.
And that's not being lazy.
No, it's we all move on from the things that we did when you learn what gets over.
Exactly. Like, or even, again, back to singers. Like, I'll hear singers who sang songs earlier in their career and probably didn't think about how it was going to be to sing 35 years later.
You're so right.
And having to hit those notes.
So many singers, so many bands.
And if you don't, somewhere along the way kind of change that. Yeah. Now you're forced to try and do that all the time.
That's right.
Well, there comes a certain point you can't.
Yeah.
And I've always said too, if you're going to do something like really stupid, do it where it's going to get remembered.
Yeah. You know? Flaming table, spear.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not doing that in you know, Des Moines.
Yeah.
For a Shotgun Saturday night, you know.
No disrespect to the fine people of Des Moines.
No, love you, Des Moines. It was great. But I mean, or am I going to do it in Chicago at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do it in Chicago at WrestleMania.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let me ask you this. What was the difference? I mean, I never had it this because, you know, you and I and a lot of people from our era were Vince guys. Vince was the boss. We worked for Vince, learned a lot from Vince. I mean, Danielson's a Vince guy. How was it working there when Vince kind of took a back seat, was gone for a while, came back for a bit, but he wasn't the be-all, end-all anymore?
It was odd, you know, because that's all I knew there, right? And even just in terms of me coming in and out, I missed a lot of things. So I'd come back and go, this is happening now. Got it. Right. And just trying to wrap my mind around that. Because when we were doing Judgment Day, the plan was Balor joins and about a year later, they all turn on me. Well, then I get to Hell in a Cell and I was like, no, we're changing everything. And we're speeding up that year-long process. And he's joining tomorrow and turning tomorrow.
It was because like 2 weeks in, or it seemed like,
It wasn't long in. Yeah. And it was just starting to find some legs, but it was going to be swimming upstream with me in it. It really was.
Yeah.
And I started to have that realization. It's like, I don't think they're going to get where they need to get to with me in this thing.
Why did you think that?
Again, people know the real story, right? And that was an instance where I did try and flip everything, change it all overnight, cut my hair off. Change the music.
Yeah,
start suits. Coming out in suits. Yeah. Like I got 30 custom suits made.
Wore two of them.
You don't want to know how much they all cost. I was just like, God bless.
Auction
it.
Coming.
Oh, nice suits. But so I tried the changing everything, and I realized at this stage, it's not what they want. At least for me, you know. They wanted to be able to cheer this guy that they didn't get for 9 years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And it's everybody's scenario is different, but I just thought, this would be cool. Let me try this, see if it works. And I was trying, but man.
Sometimes when you make the change, people don't want to see it.
They don't want to see it.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
But thankfully, again, Randy got hurt. Cody got hurt. So he's like, we got to flip you. I was like, okay, I'm utility batter. So wherever you need me, that's where I go. And again, you know, Dom, all of that, it all took off.
Yeah.
It was great. And they had Ray and I to work with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in order to solidify being heels, we're two good baby faces.
Perfect.
To work.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. What did we tell about a little bit about your 9-year hiatus? I mean, obviously it was such a long time. When did you start thinking you could come back? Because it was 9 years is forever, man. You know?
Well, I've used the analogy. It's like the ship had not just sailed, it was on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't see it on the horizon at all. It was gone. Wrestling was done for me. I had to come to terms with that fairly quickly. And then luckily acting kind of fell in my lap. And I got to do Haven and one episode turned into 41, and then I realized, okay, I love this process. It's still a creative. It's still in the arts. It's still, still, you know, flexing those muscles in the brain. There's some different stuff and some stuff that start to atrophy because it's not live. And once I came to terms with those things, like, well, that felt like a good take, but I'm not going to see it for 2 years.
Right.
So I hope it's as good as I remember it.
Yeah.
But 9 years, it's huge. And I can't say I really thought too much about it. I couldn't. But I also couldn't watch it too much. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be close to it. Mm-hmm. And then little by little that started to change. And I kind of got past the point where it felt like I was pulling off a scab every time I watched. So started watching again. But it really, really wasn't. And I said this, and it was true, until Sheamus's workout show. When he came up.
His workout
show? Yeah, he has the Celtic Warrior workouts. And he wanted to come up. And I was like, he likes to do different things he hasn't done. I was like, you mountain biked? He was like, nope. I'm like, yeah. I gotta see that big white gorilla on this thing. And thinking he's going to wipe out, and I'll laugh and we'll have it on film. Great. Mm-hmm. It was me that wiped out. Uh-huh. And it was a good one.
Oh yeah.
So I rolled up, and I even said on camera, I was like, people are going to wonder why I can't wrestle.
Because you took a bump off your bike.
Took a bump off my bike on rocks at like 20 miles an hour.
Okay.
I'd been doing my own stunt scenes and fight scenes and all of that too. So there was, but I do those and think, okay, it's still a controlled environment.
Yeah.
That was the first uncontrolled fall that I'd taken. And that really started to kind of get the gears turning in that regard. And that beget, okay, I built the gym, and, you know, so I had a gym in the house, and started using a meal prep company and, you know, really started looking after my fitness again. Not that I didn't before, but I'm dad.
Yeah, right.
As long as I stay in some form of shape
yeah.
for acting, because they don't care if I'm huge or buff or any of those things. So it wasn't until that wipeout and really getting my fitness journey back on track is when it felt like this thing might actually happen. It was strange, man.
So what was it like when did you have to train in a ring before you got back? Or did you go to the performance center, or what did you do?
No, so I had gotten the clearance from the doctors, and then I had to go up and meet with Dr. Maroon, who was the person who medically disqualified me. So Beth and I would talk about it, and she's like, okay, he's the big boss.
That's
where you're going to get shut down. And went up and saw him, and he goes, that second surgery and the work you've put in, I can clear you. And so I was kind of numb. And I went back, and I got a box of donuts to celebrate. I text Beth, and I was like, I'm cleared, because she was on a plane. So she landed and went, oh,
wow,
you're cleared. Like, there was
all the tests were passed, and yeah,
everything, all the strength tests, everything. My movement, like, I have a triple fusion in my neck. I don't know why I can move my neck so good. I mean, I train it every day.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it, but again, also, that's in my neck, so I know we're working with limited time.
Right.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So when you talk about your WWE career, and there's so many highlights and so many great moments and that sort of a thing, what are some of the standouts for you? Because I have some in my mind.
But. Oh, man, there's so much stuff when I look back over the years, even things I forgot about. Like, this is blasphemy, but like, I saw a clip on Instagram of Gangrel and I working the Road Warriors in Puerto Rico.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't remember it.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, isn't oh my God, we worked the Road Warriors. And then I remembered, but just
it's insane, right? Yeah.
You just, some of that stuff kind of gets lost. I mean, for me, main eventing WrestleMania with Undertaker, that to me is, that's a tough thing to top.
Yeah.
Just that experience. And also knowing they trust you with the baby.
Yeah.
That's big.
The baby of the main event of WrestleMania. That's,
you get that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's part vindication in a way, because I don't think we were ever guys that were chosen.
That's right. Yeah.
So that was huge. The whole story with him was really fun.
I remember when Sean and I had our feud on Raw, you and Taker,
and we were doing SmackDown. It over on SmackDown.
I think you could put DVD. You could put a special together for streaming of, like, here's how to do a angle: Edge and Undertaker, Sean and Chris,
and both entirely different.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm really proud of that one. You know, and plus for a lot of that program, he was out with getting his knee cleaned, so it was fun to keep it alive.
Yeah.
As the other performer in the matches, because I had Vicky, I had the Edgeheads, I had, you know, Bam Neely and Chavo, and so that was a huge help too. All the supporting, you know, pieces in that. But so that was a fun challenge. There's that, man, teaming with Jay, and just getting to do what we did, and the fact that people, for whatever reason, still 20 years later, when we come face to face in the ring here, are interested in it. We only teamed for like 2 years on WWF TV.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Seems like so much longer.
I know. And that kind of blows some people's minds
sometime
to think, like, maybe it was three. But still, not like we were the Rock and Roll Express.
Right.
Where, you know, 20 years we were teaming or anything. Yeah, it just happened to land in that time when everyone was watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. And that is one of their touchstones.
Right.
So that... Man, gosh, even this last, like, getting the team with Beth, man, I never.
Yeah, that was pretty. Did you write a lot of those angles and stories?
That came to me. Oh, yeah. So they had just said, hey, we want you to work with Miz, and we're thinking it could be a mixed tag. I was like, oh my God, Miz and Maryse?
Yeah.
Like two people who so get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that'll be a blast. And yeah, it was an absolute blast. Now, I will say that I was involved in getting Rhea and Beth in the ring together because I just thought that that's a no-brainer. And if we can tell a good story here, then we should be able to get those moments, those beats.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really proud of that I Quit match, you know, and really trying to make that last 10 minutes or so feel like the movie where the husband's trying to save his wife or vice versa, and the gun's to the head. And, you know, that's what I wanted that to feel like. So I was really proud of that. So
every single time he came back, he has a great feud and a monumental match. Good story.
And amazing people to work with.
Yeah.
You know, like get in there with Rollins and we just think similar. We look at things in a very similar way. And we assumed, okay, we probably got a trilogy here. And if we do it that way, then I think here's our beats.
Yeah.
And but you never know until you get in with someone to feel like, oh man, this is great.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
You know, and it was within 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh, this is gonna be a no brainer. This is, do this in your sleep.
You headlined another WrestleMania there too, right? Wasn't there a three way? Who'd you work with?
That was with Roman and Brian.
Right.
And that was a blast too. Mm-hmm. That was the first half audience back.
Yeah.
So to be involved in those as well, like I was there for the first audience back match, you know, and it was me and the Mysterios against the Bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's in Houston. We were out first, so we got to experience that first crowd back from a pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, after hearing guys fart while I'm taking a choke slam during the Royal Rumble, to like,
did you come back with no people?
Yeah.
How was that? Like, why did you come back and how did you come back with no people? Because that was a hard thing to step into.
Well, so I came back at Royal Rumble 2020.
Right.
So got a month of audiences.
Oh, gotcha.
So okay. We got a month of audiences. Yeah. But then after that, you know, Randy and I are booked in the greatest wrestling match ever.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
I mean,
tell me how did Vince pitch that to you? Because I mean, that's a tough.
It's the toughest.
I mean,
I'm sorry, I might be biased, but I think that's the toughest position to be put in.
Well, dude, I mean, I think you're a pretty damn good worker in Orton as well, but that's pretty hard. The best wrestling match ever.
There's also no such thing.
Right.
There just isn't.
Right.
Because it's totally subjective.
Yeah, good call.
You can't, like, because you probably think of a match when you think of your favorite match, and I probably think, and then that's going to change.
Yeah,
too.
Sure.
Because this month it might be Austin and Brett,
mm-hmm.
the submission match, and then it might be Negro Casas or whatever it is. Or I'll watch Nick Bockwinkel and Terry Funk from All Japan and go, okay, right now this one. So
how was that pitched to you?
It was pitched just like that. God, I got you two guys gonna have the greatest wrestling match ever. Yeah, but that's what we should call it. Oh,
he's serious.
Oh, but hey, he's a promoter,
uh-huh.
right? And that's the way the promoter's brain works.
Yeah.
Me as the performer, I'm going, there's no audience, and there's no such thing.
Right.
Okay. So I really had to wrap my mind around it and go, okay, what angle do I come at this from? Just make it a love letter to wrestling. Mm. That was the idea. I'm like, okay, Charles, need you in a long sleeve button up, need you with a bow tie. I want to get Howard Finkel to announce us.
He'd I want the old away.
MSG thing to come down, and it's Howard's thing. And now hopefully people start to understand, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is really just a tip of the hat to what we do.
Yeah.
Hence using other people's finishers in it. And really that's just a good take
on it though. It's the greatest greatest combination of all the best things we love about wrestling.
What else were we going to do?
Right.
Trying to seriously, what else were we going to do?
Getting the cat and 1-2-1-2.
Yeah. With no people there.
Right.
You know, we had like 50 students from NXT and we did what we could with it, but I also had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've often heard like, oh, it was edited in this and that. We did it once, all the way through 48 minutes.
Wow.
40 minutes straight, didn't know.
That's crazy.
We didn't have a time limit. So we got to the back and they're like, you guys went 48 minutes. I was like, really?
What?
Yeah. Wow. It felt like 10, which is when you feel good about it. Right. Yeah. And then my stupid idea was, if we wanted to try some different things, now we can. What if we just picked up some ISO shots? Might be kind of cool cut in. Because I'm just trying to think of right? So I was wearing a GoPro on my head and I was going to take an RKO. So you'd feel like a first-person player taking an RKO. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. So I take the RKO and I'm really trying to cover Randy here because we've gotten cold. This is after the match is done. We did the 48 through. We're just doing four little pickup shots. Well, I take the RKO with a camera on my head, tear my tricep.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it was an hour and 20 in between.
Yeah.
And
you took it too far,
I took
right?
it too far.
Yeah.
And then I saw it with the edits in and I hated it. But then it was like, yeah, but Vince loves it. I was like, God damn it. It was my idea.
I know.
Oh. But I saw just the unedited 48 minutes straight through and I loved it, even with no audience.
Yeah.
And Randy and I just have a great chemistry.
Yeah.
So I'm actually proud of that one. Especially considering the scenario mm-hmm. and the circumstances of that,
deal with, yeah.
to walk in and still try and pull it off, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that.
It's people going crazy next door here. We have a show to do today, so we're gonna have to start to wind it down. We could do another episode another time, but you're here now.
Yes.
See kind of a little bit of what we have going on here. What are your overall plans here in AEW? Once again, first day of work officially, basically.
I mean, really, I want to help. And in coming here, it felt like help the wrestling industry as a whole more. Because WWE is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Here was going to be fine whether I came here or not. But I just feel like here I'm going to get that opportunity to really get in and try and move the product forward mm-hmm. and be a part of that. Mm-hmm. That's really exciting. Instead of kind of coming in once every 3 months or something
right.
and just to be creative. And again, I've never faced Claudio, Moxley, Joe, MJF, Omega, Adam Page, whoever's yelling next door, FTR, Young Bucks, like never touched.
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 years worth of stories
easy.
Right there.
And hardly any repeat matches.
Yeah. So that's really what I plan on doing is just maximizing however much time I have left
mm-hmm.
and really just going for it, like kicking the doors off and let's go.
It was cool for me to be there for the first time you ever met Kenny Omega face-to-face and Hangman Page and Kota Ibushi. Like you're meeting all of these other legendary guys. Legend meets legend for the first time. That's pretty cool.
Just never crossed paths. Yeah. Just never happened because I was always there.
Right.
And I think a lot of people probably assume because of that, I'd never leave there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I love it there. Always will.
Mm-hmm.
It put me on the map. It gave me all my opportunities. But this just felt like a really fun chance to take.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, at this stage of my career, to have those feelings and have that.
To take a chance.
Yeah.
A chance. That's the key word. Yeah.
That to me is awesome. And why wouldn't you take mm-hmm. chances?
Well, it's cool too. I mean, you could go work New Japan.
Yeah.
Possibly, you know, theoretically.
That's what I said. Like, I've never worked at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
I've never worked Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm still a wrestling fan, right?
Sure.
So if I'm a wrestling fan and I see this talent that I always, you know, saw over the years, but he was in one place, and now I get the opportunity to see these other things that could happen, man, as a fan, I'm watching that.
Yeah.
So it's, and I am that fan still. So if I'm a fan and I hear, hey, Copeland might work Okada.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I love that Copeland and Sting.
Yeah. You sent me that picture, Copeland and Sting. I was like, oh my God.
Last question for you. What was your favorite match of like this since your return in the WWE?
Oh man. Again, I was very lucky to be in there with like that company's top talented people. I really love the trilogy with Rollins. Mm-hmm. I really, really love that. I love the story from beginning to end. I love that we went outside of the arena and started to do that because we really had to fight hard for that. So that was fun. and then the matches, you know, and so that was a big one. I'd always wanted to get in there with Finn, and I'm really happy that we got to tell a year long story mm-hmm. and basically have this Dr. Frankenstein created Frankenstein's monster and where that can go.
Right.
And then to see where they've gone since, that's mm-hmm. super fun to see. But again, yeah, I got to work AJ at WrestleMania. I got to work Brian and Reigns at WrestleMania. I got to work Randy. Those were all things. Those are my things there.
Yeah.
But I crossed a lot of them off. Mm-hmm. Still a couple that I didn't, mm-hmm. but you're never going to get them all.
Well, now you have a whole new palette of ones that you could do here.
Blank canvases in front of me, like a whole wall of blank canvases.
You got a big promo tonight. Are you, no writers here to tell you what to say.
No.
Is that pretty liberating too?
Yeah. So you can feel an audience. And I mean, it's kind of what I did there too, you know, because you got to feel the audience and see what they're reacting to.
They still liked having the outlines though. Like, what are you going to be saying? You know, what's your outline? You still have outlines here, but that was one thing for me. The very first time I cut a promo here, it was in Jacksonville. No script. It's like, okay, well, people think you're a pretty good promo, Jericho.
Go show it.
Can you still do it? You know? And it's like, wow. So even now, like, promos are so much fun because you just kind of go with it and see where it takes you.
Yeah. And with this story, I got so much to be able to use.
Yeah.
So I got some ideas.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you here, man. And once again, Rated R Superstar, that's
it's
yours.
It's deadly, Daddy.
Yeah.
It's deadly.
It's great, man. All right, dude. Well, let's get to work. And hey, dude.